Welcome to Down the Rabbit Hole with Chibi, Jack, that guy, and me.
The best.
I'm trying to think of the most awkward way to do that.
So much enthusiasm.
So I guess this time we're going to be talking about Sandland, because that's what I recommended we watch. And it's an anime that's good and stuff and things.
You know what's great is that, like, every time this fucking dude does an intro, and when we first started the podcast, if you can find it, Brad did it, and it was so slow when he talked his cadence that I was like, I'm doing all the intros from now,
from now on.
Because he also messed up the name.
What did he
pixelated
say?
The pixelated podcast.
This is the pixelated podcast. He just kept going, and I was like, oh, Jesus. So
Hey, I fixed it, okay?
You
I
did. Fixed it. So Sandland is by Akira Toriyama, who recently passed away. He was the creator of Dragon Ball.
The GOAT.
The GOAT. Sandland initially came out in manga, I think, 2000. And then it just recently got its adaptation in 2018. So the first six episodes of this show, it's on Hulu or Disney Plus now, I think that's because they've combined the two, is really the movie. So that's the first six episodes. And then after that, it's a brand new arc. It's an original story by Akira Toriyama himself. So, Brad, because you recommended it, talk to me about it, man. Like, how did you feel about this one?
So I did only watch the first six episodes.
Just completely fine.
But I thought it was solid. You know, it was a good... It was more of a personal adventure, right? Mm-hmm. It was like a, you know, an exploration of one man haunted by his past. Self-discovery, and he...
You're going to say it like that.
Trust in the demons.
He's working to be an audible.
Literally trusting the demons.
Just the demon. He did.
His inner and outer demons.
This is essentially Brad like auditioning for Audible, so you can like read books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In a world where there's no water, there's only sand.
The Sandland.
No, it was super solid. I really liked the animation. It was very Toriyama, so.
Very, you know, Toriyama, dude.
Yeah. You know, it's, I love Dragon Quest. I love Dragon Ball. I love, you know,
Chrono Trigger, Blue Dragon. All that stuff. Yeah, he did all those.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
typical art style of that. So, I mean, that's super solid. The story is actually really good. That I really like the ending where everything, you know, happens. And, you know.
I think it's a lot lighter than what the manga did, too, because I think.
What was the manga darker?
Rao kills old boy. Oh, no, not Rao. I can't remember. It's the other military. Lara, I think his name. He shoots the other general. General Zhu. He actually kills him. I think they showed him killing him. I can't remember.
Good.
I think it's a lot darker than him just like flying off into space and stuff like that, or just getting punched. which is also a lot of Toriyama stuff. Like, I think this is the most lighthearted of all of his properties, you know, because Dragon Ball, for those who've ever read the manga, you've like followed the stories and you didn't just watch it on Toonami where they censored a bunch of stuff. Like, Dragon Ball was incredibly gory at times. Like, people getting like punched.
Goku died like seven times.
Krillin got blown up, you know? And then here with Sandland, it's really just kind of a more lighthearted story. The one thing I liked about it is that it's simple and easy to follow, right? There's not, and I was wondering how it was going to, cause I think it's the second time I've seen an anime adaptation that just pretty much took the first like couple episodes and made it from the movie. I think Demon Slayer did that too with the train, right? Where it was
the second movie, the third season.
But that was like, that was six episodes too, right? Because they added more stuff to it, I think, for Rengoku. I think, right?
So Demon Slayer did the movie
right
after the first one.
Right.
They introduced the second one. And then they did another movie between the second and third, but the problem is that wasn't really a movie. It was just a recap of the last, well, not a recap,
oh,
it was literally
the last
two episodes of season two and the first episode of season three.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. But that's essentially what Sandland is. Like, it's, you know, really easy to follow. Like, you'd have a hard time, like, struggling because basically... It's interesting because the manga, I think, it's like pretty much a one shot, essentially, like an elongated one. It ran for, I think, 6 months, maybe. So basically everything you saw from episodes 1 to episode 6, or the film rather, that's all that was adapted from the manga. Everything else from 7 and on. And you'll see it on the titles. They'll say like episode 7 Sandland, but like the Angel Wants to Be a Hero episode 1, that type of stuff. So it's a brand new adaptation. So very interesting like that. Chibi, how did you feel about Sandland?
I'd say kind of the same thing. I thought it was simpler to follow, but I actually really enjoyed the plot. It reminds me, oh my God, I forgot what it was called. There's something similar, like a movie or like another TV show that's, sorry, my dog is barking. That's like a, kind of like the same thing, dystopian future where everything gets wiped out. It's just like the desert. I can't think of the actual name, but it reminded me of that. So I found connections between those two.
Was it like with Trigun? Because Trigun's in the desert too. Yeah.
Kind of like Trigun. Maybe that's the one I was thinking of. I think also thinking of Mad Max. I think I was thinking of Trigun.
But the rated PG version of Mad Max.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, the dystopian future. But I liked the idea of, you know, this is a world where water is very scarce, because I feel like it can be very applicable in the future. You never know. Water may be scarce. And seeing, you know, the stereotypical trope of you have that one person in power who just wants to exploit the rest of the world
for
their own gain, you know? So I found a lot of like things that I could relate to, things that I could see, tropes I could see. But overall, really interesting. I definitely enjoyed it.
Akira Toriyama always has this like running theme through a lot of his properties where like, it's not about, you shouldn't judge people based on appearances. Right. And if you saw like the demons, they're all like just really trying to relax and play video games. Watch
movies.
They're my
favorite. Yeah. So when we get to our favorite characters. I loved the demons.
I think they were great. Jack, what'd you think, buddy? What'd you watch up to, Jack? What episode?
6 or 7.
Okay.
It's not my style. But I mean,
I
would agree with you all saying, you know, it was very simple. Wait, what'd you say?
He said, what, good?
No, it was like y'all said, it's very simple, very like.
It's a lot more lighthearted.
It was very lighthearted, easy to follow. And
but if it was dark, it would have been the best anime for Chick. Jack likes it. Jack likes it simple, and he likes it. He likes it easy to follow, baby.
Man knows what he likes. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I know what kind of anime I like, and it's darker / gory anime. It's a bit more mature anime that I enjoy. And,
The thing that I always take away from like anything Akira Toriyama is like most of like his stuff is, you know, when you watch like Dragon Ball, you're essentially seeing like these really dark, like it's always about the fights and stuff like that, and Dragon Ball's a lot lighter at times. But like the themes are always pretty heavy too. It's just like it's just the way his art style looks. Like everything looks harmless at times, right? Beelzebub looks harmless. Like the demons all look harmless, but you know they're pretty. I mean, you got to the end with General Rao like on the ship when he got shot, and I was like, holy shit, that was actually kind of dark when he just started kind of going off, and he had to do his thing about just nuking people, and then he always does this too. Like he always has like a scene where it's like lighthearted, and then it's like you learn the backstory of Rao, and it's like, what just happened? Why did his wife just get killed? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, why did this go down like this? That's basically how he does, like, almost all of his properties, you know?
Yeah.
For some reason, you can go, he'll bounce, like, something really lighthearted and then immediately delve into, like, dark territory. Like, someone's, like, jumping off and, like, making a funny joke and then they're getting blown up by Frieza, right? Or he's just massacring an entire planet. That's, like, literally how that works all the time.
And I can respect that.
And I don't disagree with you, Jack. Like, I understand, like, if, something like Sandland, right, doesn't resonate with you because, you know, the style of it is a little bit too lighthearted. Like, it's kind of hard to kind of balance a tone like that with certain anime. But, you know, so that's fine. But, Brad, like, what made you want to choose Sandland?
There's a game coming out at the end of the month.
The demo is good, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It was on Steam. It's
an RPG, right?
It is I think it's like an action RPG and you use a tank. Yeah, so the tank in Sandland, like from the beginning, you use that and you traverse, you do more in the game than you would in the anime. So if you haven't, cause I've watched up to episode 10, basically I think it's interesting because it does get darker when he works away from the source material. Just, it's still very light in tone, but like the way, you know, certain things happen, like, betrayal of someone's kingdom, like people trying to ostracize them, attack them for how they look, and all this other shit. It's actually really well done. I was kind of surprised. And my favorite character, because we'll just jump right into this part, my favorite character is actually Lucifer, the dad, because there's a scene, I think in like episode 9 and 10, when like you like when they first introduce, like when they talk about the angel character, how he lost his wings because he looks really weird. It's like the it's like just nubs on his shoulders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he goes into his flashback, and pretty much what he did was that he tried to attack Lucifer because he saw that, like, you know, I wanted to make a name for myself. And Lucifer's sitting there watching TV. And like the angel comes in and he's like, hey, I need you to like listen to me. I'm here to take you down. And he's like, dude, go away. And then he like shuts the TV off. He's like, dude, do you know this is a 37-inch TV? And then he like takes his two fingers, goes like that, and like splits, like goes like splits his fingers, and it like rips the dude's wings off. And I was like, oh shit. And then he flicks him away from the entire, he hits him so hard, he makes him land in like a different continent. And then they show him again, and he's like trying to just do a fucking 10,000 piece puzzle. And he gets bothered. He's like, dude, do you not see me working on this fucking thing? I'm just trying to relax here and you keep bothering me. So he's like an entire vibe. Like he just wants to relax and just continuously gets bothered. I love his character. Chibi, who's your favorite character?
I really liked Beelzebub. I thought even in like episode 1, I thought he was really funny. Or I think it was episode 1 when the sheriff came and talked to him and was just like, yeah, somebody was giving one of the humans or the kids, whatever, some water. And he's like, oh, I don't know about that. He's like, really crazy because they drew a sketch. And he's like, that doesn't look like me. And just throws it down. Like, I don't know why that shit had me dead. It was just like so wholesome. It was cute. But I really like the discrepancy of his character. Like, you know, he looks like this. He looks tiny. He's like, yeah, I'm like 3,000 years old or whatever. And he's like, he looks, you know, kind of small, kind of cute, but then he has so much power him, you know.
It's demon.
So I love, why is he, I love the discrepancy.
It's really funny because in the later episodes, they have a scene where they're like, they're going to get shot at by a firing squad. And he's like, he does like this hand stuff and turns himself into metal. And then they're like, they're like, oh wow, you blocked all that. He's like, yeah. And then they pull out a fucking tank and they're like, can you block that? He's like, he's like, maybe. And they shoot the tank, the shell hits him. It like deflects upward and then behind him. He's like, yeah. He's like, I told you guys. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I thought that was funny too.
That's like my favorite thing, dude. Just watching him like, just like, I think so, I guess. But him being like 3,500 is really funny too. And also, he just wants to play video games.
Like, what? Yeah, right. It was so relatable. Didn't Satan was like, when you come back, you will only play like an hour.
Yeah, you only have an hour, right?
Like, as if it, I was like, damn, that's a mood.
Yeah, dude. All he wanted to do is hang out. That's what I'm saying. Lucifer's just like, dude, go. It's like, leave me alone, bro. Like, yeah. Jesus. Jack, did you have a favorite character?
Not really, but I mean, I toss it up between Beelzebub and the father. Especially when the father, when he's talking to Beelzebub, when he's like, can we go with him? What's his Rau?
Yeah, Rau.
Rau, on this mission or whatever. And he's like, yes, but no video games till blah, 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 blah.
Yes. He's like, what?
Yeah.
We all know Guppy was your favorite character.
Guppy.
I also like the Guppy? Swimmers. I love the fucking swimmers.
Dude, the
the big one from the swimmers.
Yeah, the big dude from the swimmers. That dude is hilarious.
They're so funny.
Yeah. If you watch them, in the other episodes, they like with the way they work out in the river, is they pretty much have the big dude Guppy like lay down, and the other ones are pushing him upstream. It's very fucking. I was like, holy shit, they're strong as fuck to move him like that. Brad, who's your favorite, man? Who you got? What's your favorite character, man? Why isn't it Thief, dude?
I was about to say Thief. He's probably my favorite.
My guy.
They were like, we need supplies. He's like, I'm gonna go in town. The demons aren't allowed, so y'all sit back. And he's like, no, thief can just steal it. He's like, he brought his clothes.
Yeah,
he pulls out a Santa suit. He pulls a Santa suit.
That's the best thing ever. He's like, young master, I'm old, my back hurts and stuff. He's like, get the fuck over there. He's like, all right, fine. And then like, to see how fast he is too was really cool because like, oh, you forget that he's a demon because he doesn't look like one. He's like sprinting into town. He's like, hey, I hit the stuff up forward, man, but you got to see this. And they show the tank. The tank stuff in this is very cool. Like, I like watching how competent Rao is compared to everybody else. Like, he's also a really badass old man. And that's not heavily featured in a lot of shows where they show, like, capable older individuals, but like he just absolutely outworks everybody. I'm like, good lord, dude, how are you not
Master Roshi?
These Master Roshi, essentially. John Wick. Yeah, he's like Mr. Nobody, John Wick. What are the other fucking older? He's like Liam Neeson from Taken. yeah. On a side note, has you guys seen Taken 3? Anybody?
Have not yet.
Okay, so Taken 3 has a scene that's fucking terrible. The reason why Taken 3 gets bashed so much is because there's a scene where when Liam Neeson is trying to jump a fence, like his character, they have about 7 jump cuts as he's climbing over. And Helldivers 2 put out a clip, and I love this so much, where they show the character jumping a fence, but they do like 7 cuts to show him like eat shit on the ground. I was like, that is amazing, because I was like, that's Taken 3, dude. That's so bad. But Rao is like the difference maker, right? Like, I think his character's great. Like I said, everything is so easy to follow, and I think it's because they were adapting it from a movie. So like you kept the central cast small. You didn't have to like constantly jump to like 10 different characters. I didn't have to get to know a group of people that didn't matter or make sense to me. you follow 3 characters, man. No, Fallout.
Is that like a lot?
No, okay.
You follow 3 characters, but there's characters that those characters meet.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, you actually follow 4. My bad. There's 4, right?
4. Maximus, Lucy,
the ghoul, and the little brother.
The ghoul.
And the little brother. Oh, yeah. Lucy's little brother. Yeah, you do follow into the vault.
Yeah. So. I guess that's like a subset of Lucy's story.
If you count them.
Yeah. If you count them, yeah. But yeah, no. I'm all for like simpler anime. I was wondering how this was going to work too, because I know the movie came out last year for Sandland. Mm. And so my brain was like, I wonder, because I literally thought when Brad had suggested it and I went on to Hulu, I was like, so they have all the episodes uploaded already. But really like the first 6 were just the film. And so I think that one, the animation I really like. I was kind of surprised too, because at first I didn't know if I thought it was going to be more hand-drawn than cel-shaded. And I thought it was going to be like, it's weird too, because Cheapy, you've watched past episode 6, right? I think.
I get the episode.
Yeah. So like what's weird is that the animation is actually cleaner in 7, 8, and 9. Like, yeah, in the episodes after, which is weird. But I don't know if they just like completely took what was from the movie and just cut it at certain spots. But that's essentially how it worked. So I was
I'll give it a look.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Only go up to episode 8, but 8 hasn't even been released yet.
So oh, for the dubs?
Are the original ones?
Yeah, for the dubs, it wasn't released.
Yeah, no, the subs are out to...
yeah, that's what I've been watching.
The subs are up to episode 10.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, yeah. So I think it's like every Thursday. I don't know how long this is going to go for. I think it's like 11, 12 episodes, I think. So.
Probably.
Yeah, it's a very short series, and obviously with Toriyama's passing, I highly doubt that there's going to be anything else afterward. And I do wonder if they're going to adapt other products from him as well, because Sandland, it's interesting to go from like completely adapting the manga to then doing something completely open and different. Like there's nothing else to back this from. He just kind of had his own story, which is always interesting, because I always feel like, you know, sometimes people, you know, originals can fall flat on their face. That happens a lot, usually with like, you know, shit on Crunchyroll for some reason, you know, like I think High Card at one point I was like, okay, good opening. Yeah, good opening. Ninja Kamui, if anyone's watching that,
I haven't watched it yet.
The first episode, dude, fan fucking tastic. Everything after that, I was like, what are we doing here? Why is it so convoluted now? What's going on? I think that's what makes Sandland so enticing, is that like it's one of the, I think a lot, maybe some people who've like seen Akira Toriyama's work probably thought there was going to be more violence. But if you saw some of the character design and treatment stuff he did for like Chrono Trigger and Blue Dragon and Dragon Quest, a lot of it's like lighthearted stuff. Like it's very adventurous, like to have something that's, you know, completely original, you know, nothing too dark, but you're still able to kind of convey and tell like a dark story, you know, because you do have like that stupid ass, the king, whatever his name is, bro, who looks...
Bro, fuck that guy.
Dude. He looks like he's got arms and a head coming out of a butthole or something like that.
No, that's the general.
That guy's got it made. That guy's...
Oh, the king? All he has to do is eat. Yeah. Eat and then like fucking have everyone else do shit for him. That's it, bro.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's a spokesman to sell water. That's literally all he... Like, that's just his job.
That's the dream, dude. I just think like it's weird because like you go from like... kind of it's like a feel good story, and then like when you see like what Rao actually did, what like the humans did to some of the demons, how they like pretty much destroyed an entire like division of like, or entire group or species rather, I was like, Jesus, what the fuck? That was kind of out of the blue. And then they blamed him for everything, and there's like personal connections because under Rao there was like that one guy's dad, so all this stuff was happening. And then Zhu like was like a fucking cyborg. Like he was straight out of a Dragon Ball comic. You could tell. He was
Eggman.
He was so scary looking, like a meatball.
Yeah.
Meatball, yeah. Cyborg.
Yeah, I love the fact that like when he put his arm in, like Rao immediately knew, he was like, what are you doing? What's going on? Or when Rao pulled the gun out in the ship when they were at the final assault and he was shooting, and Thief was like, I thought you said it wasn't loaded. He's like, yeah, I lied. I ain't trust you motherfuckers.
He's like, I just carried it as a prop. Yeah,
I just want to scare him. Like, you're full of shit, bro.
He's a sheriff, obviously, he has, yeah, a loaded gun.
Yeah, he has a loaded weapon here. I did get Trigun vibes, though, from the first episode. Like, and like old school Trigun, like the original, not like the more recent one. I thought that was really interesting. But it seems like pretty much what like 7 through 10 did, or the most recent arc, is that they took some of the themes and topics, like the Aquamanite, which is that material that like is really explosive, and they made it kind of a central focus in the most recent arc, which is interesting. It just kind of sucks that, like, you know, they expand more on the demons and stuff like that, and then they give more background on Beelzebub, like who he is and like who is, how he's related to like certain characters and stuff like that, and then it just, you know, you're not going to get like, I highly doubt, like I said, with Toriyama's passing, you're not going to get like another arc, which kind of sucks. Brad, is there anything? I was like, are you going to play the game? Are you going to
try? I just downloaded the demo. Downloaded
the demo. He's playing it right now. You don't understand. It's a tank game, dude. So
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you can look up on Steam right now.
Play as Beelzebub.
Yeah, play as Beelzebub. Yeah. It's interesting. Chibi, what did you... I forgot you just got past episode 6. So what was your favorite episode, Chibi? What was your favorite part?
I think I enjoyed, honestly, like the tank scene when they were kind of like chasing each other, if that makes sense. I don't know. I was a big fan of like the tactics of...
Was it when they were fighting the entire tank, that little tank company that he was fighting?
Yeah, it was like one versus like the whole tank.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I enjoyed the scheming with it. I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting to see the different insights.
Yeah, he was. That makes sense. Rao was very, very quick with like everything he did.
Yeah.
Like, very.
Was that the same episode where we? Sorry to cut you off. No. Was that the same episode where we found out that? I mean, we kind of had an idea, but that he was like the big general in charge of. In the past.
I think so, because that was after he fought Lar for the first time, I think, or when he shot down and he like brought out the radio and stuff like that.
Yeah. I enjoyed like that progression of them all finding out he was the famous general and everyone being like,
Shiva,
you were dead. Yeah. Like, oh my God, you're alive. And then, you know, that sequence. That
General started. Shiva's alive? You lied to me. And the fat king was like, what are we going to do? It's like, what do you think, boy? Once you go back over there, go eat your food, let daddy handle it, all right? Sit your fat ass down. That's basically what it was. Because dudes, man, that would be the greatest job in the world, bro. Just be like the king. Just like, I have this really competent general. I'm like the face of like this world. And I'm selling water for what, $15,000 or some shit?
That was crazy.
Oh my God, dude.
It was on sale.
It was on sale. It was $19,000. Now $15,000.
Jesus Christ.
Love that.
Insane.
Actually, Jack, from what you watched, did you have something that you really liked out of it? Like, what was the thing that you found enjoyable about Sandland, even though it wasn't your...
I can appreciate the animation style, the art style.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Did you like the tank fight scene?
Yeah, tank fight scene was good.
When they were dueling? Yep. Dude, every tactic he had worked, which is crazy. Yeah.
I really liked the ending where the bad tank like swung his cannon over and like couldn't reach the, like, it was too far, and he was just like, well, we just lost.
Yeah, like he knew already. I mean, that's what's cool about, that's what the game is, dude. It's pretty much just like a bunch of tank combat, but you also have like RPG elements to it, so
yeah,
it's very interesting. Brad
shows up.
Yeah, Brad, was that your favorite part, just the tank stuff in the anime?
No, actually, I actually really liked when they actually found the spring.
Yeah.
And Rao was just like, he's just like, nah, let's just go home. Yeah. He's like, we already did enough to these people, so. And he's like, and then Beelzebub's like, oh, don't worry, I already told him we're going to leave him alone, so. Already ahead of you. And I was like, how are they demons? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's like one of the things that Toriyama really tries to push out. Like I said, like he really enjoys, you know, having people not judge each other by the way they look, like trying to be non-discriminatory. And that's how it is in Dragon Ball Z. Remember like fucking Piccolo? Like Piccolo was a bad dude, but as a Namekian, he's actually not a bad guy. He actually tried to help a lot of people. He raised Gohan, right, when Goku was dead.
He was the Demon King in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, King Piccolo in the original one. Yeah. And then he like branched off and then became the good guy. I mean, that's essentially just how it works, right? Yeah. And I love the fact that like they talked about the demons' rules and all their creeds and stuff like that. And they're like, we don't kill humans. We don't hurt humans. Like everything you heard about us was just a lie because we look different from you. And I'm like, damn.
That's kind of cool if you did, though.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did. No, you super powerful. What's going on? You have Beelzebub who can jump far distances. He can consume darkness to get more powerful and stuff like that. You know, even though them grasshoppers fucked him up. Exploded in front of him. I always love like his, I love Toriyama's designs. Like his everything looks harmless until they become harmful. And it's always like interesting. Because you're like, that shouldn't hurt somebody. And it's like, holy shit, that thing beat his ass. Like, what the fuck?
Those are just crickets.
That's why, like, anytime there was, like, an actual surge of violence in, like, Dragon Ball, I was always taken aback as a kid. I remember I watched Dragon Ball Z in Spanish, primarily because Toonami had only gotten up to a certain arc. They barely finished the Frieza arc, and they were just playing that on repeat. I remember that, and because I was in California, and people of Mexico, they love fucking Dragon Ball, dude. So I would, like, go onto the Spanish channels and then watch Dragon Ball Z. And I remember the first time I saw Yamcha, he met with one of the androids and they punched right through him. And I was like, wait, they don't show this shit up here with like Toonami. What's going on, man? Why is there so much blood? So yeah, that's what they do. Like you get like this, you get lulled into this false sense of security. And then you see, you know, Rao gets shot in the shoulder and you're like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Or you see the wife get blown up in a house, something like that, right? They always do that type of stuff.
I was waiting for her to show back up too, and she was gonna be.
I don't know, brother. I mean, that explosion looked pretty final for me.
You saw that guitar, dog.
Yeah, that explosion looked pretty fucking final to me. I love how like both Thief and Beelzebub, the moment they like told the story, like, "Who's this hot girl, man? What, you dog, you dog." That was my wife. It's like, why did you say that, Thief? Like, what the.
That shit was funny. Yeah.
Why were dog. You?
He's like, I didn't mean to intrude. What did he say? He was like, yeah. I wasn't gonna something.
I love how Thief gets blamed for everything. He's like, dude. Also, my favorite part was when they were trying to select the demon and they made them go through like a talent show.
Oh yeah. Oh. And Thief didn't even try out.
He's like, I can fly, and he's like hovering off the ground.
Is that it? He's like, it's like they're like, are you? Good. Were you really flying? He's like, yeah, dude, I'm trying really hard. I was like, oh, that poor.
They're like, is that all you got?
That poor dude was like actually struggling because he was like flying off the ground. I love the fox. He's like, I can transform. He like puts a leaf on his head. I was like, that's it? Like,
the strip of hair right here.
Yeah. Like, what is going on? Why can't they do cool shit? None of them had like.
Yeah, what do you mean that is cool shit? You're just a hater.
None of them had like actual like useful abilities except for Thief. I was like, dude, what happened? Oh my god! Because like in the it's really cool. Like they show like. Thief using different disguises in the second arc when he's like working with Rao, like he steals like soldier like disguises. Like, how do I look? He's like, you look like you'd actually fit in. He's like, nice. He's like, but you're old. He's like, oh. He was like, what, 2000 or something like that. I also love like when they used to fight over the tank, driving the tank and stuff like that. Like based on the Thief, he's like, little young master, let me drive. He's like, no. And they keep fighting. I was like, oh my god, dude. That poor dude got suckered into it, brought his bag, and then every time they had to do something, what was weird was that like the Thief is like really capable, and then like he would complain about everything. When they were trying to walk to the next town after the the tires got destroyed. He's like, we gotta walk? Like, how do we get back? He's like, dude, we're gonna bring a mechanic back. Man, and then he like immediately runs into the city to steal shit. I'm like, dude, what is this, man? Like, who are you tricking like right now? Yeah. He's like really agile and fast and actually like useful and capable. I was like, oh my gosh, dude. That's the one thing I really like about Sandland is that, you know, every character is actually not who they seem, right? I mean, I think Rao's like the one character who like you can tell like this dude's probably a badass.
Yeah.
An absolute pulls out his little tonfas or his fucking what are they called? The police batons and just starts beating everyone's ass. Like I was like, and then you're like Thief being capable, Beelzebub being like super fucking strong. Like it's not just like, because when you see him, you're like, he might not be able to like take a gunshot. And then one of his abilities is turn to steel. So there's like a ton of things that he hasn't shown. Jump far distances, he can consume.
So cheating.
He's essentially cheating, right? I mean, you can only imagine how strong his fucking dad is. Like Lucifer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And like how old, you gotta wonder if like, are they for the same bloodline? Like how long does it take for fucking Beelzebub to get to that size? Because that dude is massive. And he actually looks like there's a Dragon Ball Z villain. I don't know how long, Brad, I don't know how far you got in Dragon Ball Z, but there's a character that looks exactly like Lucifer. I was like, holy shit, that's a dead ringer for this character. He got reincarnated into Sandland and he's just chilling now. So, you know, because bad guys usually don't. No. What did you say? Did you say Popo? You fucking. Popo was probably a Kiritoriyama's worst call, I think, in terms of design. Jesus. Is there anything? So you watch the dub? How is the dub, by the way? Like
dub's not bad.
Dub's not bad.
I was gonna say I also watched the dub.
Oh really?
I was I had to multitask this
week. Okay.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
honestly, it wasn't bad.
I generally don't watch like I didn't know there was a Deborah. Dub feature, dude. I did not like. Yeah, Deborah. Thank you.
I usually don't watch dub, but I was like, I need to, and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I liked it.
I'll tell you what, dub is good.
But I watched Konosuba. Dub a lot.
Konosuba's dub is excellent. Love that dub.
You fucking say that shit again.
Season 3 is out. Oh, so good.
Michael literally said, I'm coming over this week and making you watch all of Konosuba. And
dude, listen, when you get to season 3, literally has like one of the best openings I've ever seen. I've never laughed so hard watching an anime. That shit was so stupid.
I'll watch it on YouTube.
It's so good. Yeah, I should like switch over to the dub and check it out because I think Dragon Ball Z's dub is good, you know. I was just wondering how Rao would sound like, you know, a grizzled old man, angry.
Basically.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Beelzebub sounds like Naruto when he was like younger. Yeah, I can see it in my head, just like the raspy voice and stuff like that. Am I wrong?
Not as annoying.
No, it wasn't raspy.
They missed an opportunity, dude.
It definitely was younger.
It just sounds like a young teenager.
He's not even teen. He's not Asta screaming the whole fucking time.
Oh my gosh. I would probably not watch the whole show if
Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls.
Oh hell yeah, dude.
That's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very very light voice while he's fucking punching people in the face. So Jack, if Sandland was dark and violent, that'd be like right up your alley, right? Clean animation, people just getting split in half and stuff like that. The demons being bad demons. Deadland.
It sounds so horrible, but you're not lying.
Deadland. The Deadlands.
That's actually Dead Sand.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Dead Man Wonderland, but we can't say that.
Yeah, I think as a good call, Brad. Once again, I enjoyed it. I did not think Brad's been on it, man. Brad just keeps putting suggestions out. It keeps fucking rolling.
I thought this one was alright. I wouldn't say it's like an amazing possession. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Next one's gonna be Baki, so
that's gonna be super interesting. So is anyone? So I mean, we'll move past this and kind of talk about because we did like 30 minutes on Sandland. Has anyone watched any of the new anime for this upcoming season?
Other than Kaiju number 8, unfortunately, no.
Let's talk about that very shortly. Kaiju number 8, for those who don't know, me and Chibi brought this up before he actually went live, is essentially Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim.
That's the best way to put it, because they, you know, you have these massive kaiju. I don't think they go into like the backstory of them. I'm assuming
not
they
do. Yet.
I've not read the manga.
I've gotten like halfway through and not really yet. It's more of what's going on currently.
Think the rated R version of Pacific Rim. It is very gory.
It's like Pacific Rim mixed with Jujutsu Kaisen, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Because he has that.
I might want to watch it.
It's really graphic, violence wise.
It's graphic.
The animation's really cool.
It's a great story so far.
Seems like a great story. Kaiju number 8.
And the dub is really good. I watched the dub because is the sub out yet?
Yeah. Wait.
Is it?
Aren't they both out on Crunchyroll?
I only saw the dub, so I watched the dub.
I know the dub.
That explains a lot.
I remember, dude. So it was weird. I've never seen Crunchyroll do this. Maybe they've done it for other anime, but they do like a premiere.
Yeah,
and
that's
people,
what I saw.
And
it was
people
just
were up. People were downvoting the fuck out of it. They were very Why? Upset because I don't know if it's the first time they've done that where they like put a premiere and it was like live, so like you couldn't like they didn't actually upload the episode.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't.
So you had to actually like wait to watch the whole thing. But it came out like an hour fucking later. But it like they pretty much killed the rating. Was it like a 4.4?
How many episodes is there?
Just one so far.
Just one. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say, I only see one episode.
I think it comes out Saturdays, I'm assuming.
I literally watched it on Sunday. Maybe it's just because it was early. I don't know. But all I saw was the dub, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it was pretty good.
No.
So is that considered simulcast?
Yes.
When they put the dub and the sub
that's
out at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good call. I think you'll like it, Jack. It's quick.
Series that's like Attack on Titan, Chainsaw Man, and One Punch Man.
All
together.
It's such a lazy way to say like Attack on Titan because they feature larger creatures. It's like, it's just a fuck. It's kaiju, man. Where's Godzilla?
It's Titans.
How come Godzilla don't come out?
We got Godzilla.
We don't have Gojira.
Well, he's not number 8, though. He's number 3.
Yeah, so like the animation, I think, was really good. I think twist near the end.
I almost spoiled.
Really good too. Nah, don't
worry about it. No, well, because I forgot you didn't read it, and I forgot where the anime stopped.
So
I started reading it right after I watched it.
It's crazy because like when I was on Reddit and they were showing like Kaiju number 8, and everyone the way they talk about it, they're like, yeah, the anime, the first episode really good, and then they went immediately into trashing the manga because they apparently don't like the most recent arc or something, which is just like Jujutsu Kaisen, but you know whatever.
Yeah.
This season though is pretty massive with all the stuff. I also
there's a lot of season 3s, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Konosuba to watch Mashle.
Yeah, Mashle season
2. Still watch the second Marshall season of that.
There's Konosuba season 3, there's fucking none of you've heard this, but it's called Spice and Wolf. This came out
I have heard of it.
Have you ever seen it though? Early 2000s. If you talk to people
I watched one episode.
If you talk to people about Spice and Wolf, like it's you know, it's a slice of life thing. A lot of people fucking hold that very dearly. I did not know they were doing a remake. And
I didn't watch it.
And I know what it is. I watched the first episode. I was like, this is actually high quality animation. So I was very shocked.
Watch it.
Very cool looking. I finished Apothecary Diaries, Chibi.
I'm really close to that.
That's a fucking good ass anime. God damn.
It is so good.
I have some problem with like some of the pacing stuff. Like it's kind of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a slice. It's weird because it felt like a kind of mystery of the week type deal. And I don't know if that's how the light novel or whatever is set up.
It probably is.
But it's very smart. Very dark too at times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was not expecting certain things. Also, like I like the character dynamics and the dialogue's very good. Probably one of the better dubs too. So if you want to watch that in dub. I've been finishing up on like Dungeon Meshi, right? It's on episodes 15. Dude, it's gotten so good. Holy shit. It's gotten so much darker. It got so dark so fast.
I know. I can't, dude.
They do not fuck around with that. And the dub is still really good. There's a ton of good stuff coming out. It's kind of shocking. Like, we have the, you know, except for No Game, No Life, which is never going to get a second season, unfortunately, for those people. But beyond that, lots of really good anime out right now. Shocked, Jack. Is there anything you've been watching recently? Anything new?
Not anime wise.
What about your suggestion, man? What was your suggestion? Do you remember?
The Unwanted Undead Adventurer.
Saw the first episode. I don't know how everyone's gonna feel about it, but it's pretty good. I think it's
gonna make me cry.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, no. Maybe. So, I don't know. It's don't do this. It's a lot more serious than like I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is pretty
cool. Yeah, I got high ratings, so I just went with that.
I love Jack's like, I love the honesty and like the randomness of it. Yeah, it just looked like it was decent, so I said, fuck it, my
I
dude.
I liked how long the name was.
The name was like real long.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like,
I try to pick random shit to pick these.
Is this a light novel? Oh, no.
That's how I watched Black Butler, so it's understandable.
You watched Black Butler?
I'm very surprised.
That's also...
Not all of it, but I have watched...
That's also in season three, right, Chibi?
Season two or season three?
I want to get everyone's like feeling on this because... So when an anime goes on hiatus, for example, One Punch Man, I just not noticed this, but season two came out 5 years ago.
Holy shit.
Holy... Someone brought that shit up and I was like, wait, has it been that fucking long?
You're like, hold on.
How do you guys feel about long hiatuses?
I don't have a problem.
Depends on
with
how
it.
They leave
yeah.
the story hanging.
Mm-hmm. Like, so if it's on a cliffhanger, it shouldn't be a long hiatus, is what you're saying.
Like, I don't think so.
No, absolutely not. I get pissed off and then I want to drop it.
Especially if it's
it.
A major one.
Yeah.
They should always have. So we're saying like we should always see it like. I mean, there should be some type of consistency, but like the studios, yeah. I think generally
within
know.
Half a year. A year?
Within a year.
Or I feel like you should at least close the current arc you're doing before
yeah.
doing a season two. You know what I mean? Like seasons are yeah. usually in arcs. So like if you leave it hanging, it just feels so incomplete.
That's why like with Dragon Ball Z when I was younger, like when they just finished the Frieza thing, I was like, what the fuck happens next? Why am I getting repeats for the next 2 years? What the fuck?
You're like, I can't handle this.
I can't do this anymore. Hey everyone, it's Ken from Pixelated Thoughts, and this is where the podcast is going to cut off because my internet died. So anyway, next week we are going to be reviewing Fallout, and then afterwards it's whatever the hell Jack recommended for Down the Rabbit Hole. So thanks everyone for watching. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. We'll talk to you next time. Bye everybody.